This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jake Moody, right ankle, won't practice. Juwan Jennings, hip, won't practice. Givens, groin, won't practice. Kittle, foot, won't practice. Odom, knee, won't practice. Debo, wrist slash illness, won't practice. Trent Williams getting a vet day. Chris Conley, ankle, limited. Nick Bosa, elbow, limited. Jordan Mason, shoulder, limited.
Now, back to Will and Dibby on 95.7 The Game.
Sweet Jesus.
Your name's on there.
My God.
Possibly.
And there's so many people on IR he doesn't even need to mention.
Yeah, Warriors pregame coming up next.
Yeah, oh, by the way.
After all those names.
Yeah. You know? Warrior basketball is back tonight.
Oh, I'm so happy.
Let's go. The Dubs are in Portland, and the coverage begins at 6 with the Grandy Man.
The
Warriors live.
Who can do the pregame? The Grandy Man. Thank you.
Rip City, not Chip City. 7 o'clock, tip off.
Rip City against Chip City.
Yeah, we could say it that way. I like that. Okay, so, yeah, okay, Warriors in Portland tonight. We got a basketball game.
I can't wait.
Got a basketball game.
And just real quick on rhyming, Steiny with a great line earlier.
What did he say?
Talking about last year, their names were greater than their games. Talking about CP3 and Clay.
It is funny.
I was like, dude.
That's good.
Their names greater than their games. So
I don't want this to be true, but it might be. Clay might actually be washed.
That's a little early for that. Do you want to go and lock that up?
No, I don't. Because I don't want to.
Holy cannoli. That's crazy.
Yeah, I don't want to root for that. I'm not pulling for that. And I know that there probably half the audience was like, duh. okay. But I wonder over the last couple years, like, was Clay. It's chicken or the egg. Because he's mad all the time. I don't think you play well when you're mad. That's why the Jets are going to trade Mike Williams, because you can't play well when you're mad. Garrett Wilson might be why the ball bounced off his chest plate for an interception the other night, because you're mad. And so you don't play well when you're mad. But is he mad, you know, because he's not playing well, or is he not playing well because he's mad? Like, in other words, is it simply because the body just won't respond anymore? Or is he actually still a good volume three-point shooter who just needed a new, you know, he needed a new destination, a new home, a new surrounding? I don't know. I would say the preseason is pretty concerning if I'm the Mavericks.
It's the preseason, so
I know.
Depends on what you want to put into it. You know, you get 20 games into it, and then we can get a better gauge of where Clay is.
Check this out. More from Kyle Shanahan. Here's the Debo update.
Pneumonia. He's out of the hospital. He got in here yesterday. Doing better than you'd expect with that stuff, and we'll see how he goes throughout the week.
He's still got a chance to play on Sunday.
Yes.
Okay.
He's playing.
That sounded good.
He's playing.
That sounded good.
Yeah. I mean, my takeaway is he's playing.
He said he's doing better than you would hope at this point, and then he wouldn't even let the question finish. Yes.
I'm ready to go.
All right. So I think that's pretty good. How about this? On Purdy and the offense's numbers being down.
last year was one of the best years statistically ever, like when you look at just the efficiency of a whole offense. So I think it's hard to do that every year. I think when you're missing the NFL MVP, that doesn't help. You know, missing some receivers doesn't help them, but I think Brock's having a hell of a year statistically also.
Lamar Jackson's on the Niners? Did you catch that?
That was confusing.
Offensive player of the year. I think is what he meant.
Sure.
He gave the wrong letters out.
Yeah. Well, and you know,
the OPOY, not the MVP.
Last year was amazing.
Yep.
No doubt.
Red zone issues. What's to blame?
Everybody. It takes 11 guys to run the ball, and coaches work on that too. So it's all of us. You know, it gets harder as you get down there. When you don't run it in on first and second down, it puts a lot more pressure on the pass game. When you do better on the pass game, you get better run looks. So it's all tied together.
You a big vibe guy? You a mood guy?
For sure.
Okay. Want to hear about the mood and the vibes?
Yeah, they aren't good, and I dare him to say anything to the contrary.
I don't know what he's about to say. What if he says they're mazeballs? Everybody's happy.
Then he's not in there.
Okay.
Much like he wasn't at Anders Carlson's kicker tryout.
He wasn't there?
No, didn't go. No.
Well,
he was asked about, hey, how were his kickoffs? I didn't go out there for the tryout.
He delegated.
That's a great question.
It's a delegation sensation.
When your special teams are among the worst, second to worst in football, spend some time out there.
I don't know. Like, if you got three guys.
Know.
No, but look, you got three guys kicking, right? And I get what you're saying. But if you got three guys kicking, and Kyle's like, yeah, just tell me who kicks the best. And then the guy kicks the best. And they're like, yeah, he made the most. Like, fine, sign him. We're already on our third kick. Does he need to be there?
Yes.
Why?
Because the kicker you chose doesn't do well kicking off, and he can't make an extra point.
Yeah, but the people...
So there's that.
But the people on your staff could assess that, too. Like, they know what to assess.
Right. But the assessment so far from your special teams coordinator has been bad. You are second to worst in advanced metrics. In special teams. So maybe, if you have a situation in your household where one of your children is struggling in school, you're going to want to maybe spend more time helping them with their homework.
Understood. I guess, if what you're saying is the kicker has warts, I'd argue that when you get to your third kicker, what's available is people with warts.
Right.
They all have warts. So if you're like, he doesn't kick to the end zone, which he did, by the way. He did kick it to the end zone.
If he's got warts, I want to know where they are and how I can treat him.
They're on his leg.
Thank you.
He's a kicker.
Right. And he missed his PAT.
Leg. I don't care what's happening with his stomach. I don't care.
Put down the play sheet and be the CEO. That's all I'm saying.
Here are the mood and the vibes.
Yeah, I felt good today. I mean, Monday's always a rough day, but we spend a long time on Monday. I mean, we do that from early in the morning till really right when I'm done with you guys. After that press conference is the first time we move on. And then we see the players today. So they do their own thing on Tuesdays, and they came in today. And we've had good meetings. We just had a good walkthrough, and guys are ready for the week.
Okay, see? You were wrong. Everything's wonderful.
Yeah. That's not what I heard him say, but...
Oh, what'd you hear him say?
Well, Monday is always rough.
And that's 2 days
yesterday
ago.
They had an off day, and so they come in today, and they're feeling better.
Everybody's good.
Everybody's excited about next Monday.
Yeah.
Where are they going to the bye? And they're figuring out where they want to go on vacation.
He's going to lean on his captains in moments like this.
We got great captains. We got a great team. I mean, there's not, you know, we've been in this situation before where not everything's going perfect and you're a little backs against the wall. But our group, our culture, I mean, it's never really been an issue. I've never had to make a big deal about stuff. And anytime that there is, I'll call guys and address it. But our team's got, we know each other pretty well. I think they know me pretty well. And we got a group, a bunch of good people that don't blame each other and know what you got to do after stuff like this. There's only one thing. You can sit and talk and evaluate all this stuff, or you can get to work and find a way to be better the next week.
I do like that answer. We've been here before. We know exactly what to do. We're going to do it again. There was a quiet confidence to that.
Sure, which is great. And then, you know, go out and beat Dallas, and that's ultimately all that matters. And you and I can process versus results the rest of our life together on this show. And
probably will.
Ultimately, the results for me matter far more than the process, because the process is pretty good. And you know, you're going through and the vibes are good and everything and stuff is what you want it to be, but you're 3-4. So you can have great process and great vibes and you could be 6-11. And what does it matter?
Well, no, that's looking backwards. You can't change that. He's talking about what you do now, what you do next. That is, as one of our texters said, the trajectory of the season is...
Well, the trajectory we don't know. You can think that the trajectory is going up,
but that's where
I can think that it's going down. We don't know what the trajectory is until it happens.
But that's the process. That's the process. And I mean, that's sort of fundamental to the conversation we've been having, in my opinion, which is, why isn't there a little more patience? Why isn't there a little bit more salute? Why isn't there a little bit more head nod? Why isn't there a little bit more, you've done this before and you've done it well? Why isn't there a little bit more, you know what? Kyle Shanahan's a pretty freaking good coach. That's all. Why, like, again, totally ignore, this year stinks. It stinks so far. And he's made some head-scratching moves, and some head-scratching things have happened on the field with the players and all of those things. But why isn't, in those moments, don't you fall back? Like, I said this earlier, and Grandy threw out an answer that was a fair one, but I was like, in other cities where you have a coach that's been there for a while and has consistently been good, I don't feel like people lose their minds this quickly when something gets wobbly out of the gate. I do. I really do. I feel like this is louder than it would be in, let's call it, Pittsburgh, where, in fact, under Mike Tomlin's reign, they do. They've got a bunch of, whoops, we started 3-4, and we're barely 9-8, and yet we end up in the playoffs. I don't know if people blow it up with, get this Tomlin idiot who always falls short. Now, Grandy brought up the example of Philly, and at first I was like, Nick Sirianni does not have the resume of Kyle Shanahan, and I believe that. However, Grandy's like, well, here's the last 3.5 years, and the record's pretty good. And I was like, I'll acknowledge that. Now let me give the second part of the answer. Are we really comparing ourselves to Philly? That's how we want to sound? I thought the Bay Area was full of people that thought Philly was out of their minds.
Yes, but you made the point that no other team would do this. And Sirianni, just looking at the numbers, he's 38-19, yeah, better than Shanahan in the regular year. And he's been to a Super Bowl and, true, you know, also lost it, much like Kyle Shanahan, and yet Philadelphia has wanted the guy out after just a couple of years.
And I didn't say no other city. I did, other cities, like most other cities, I would stand by my statement. I don't think it would sound like this in most other cities.
Yeah, I mean, Dallas would be one where, you know, they've wanted that coach out for a long time, and he's been pretty successful. He hasn't made it as far as Kyle Shanahan.
It's Cosell time. Are you nervous?
No. Why would I be nervous?
Wow.
Greg and I are cut from the same cloth.
You were nervous last week.
Last week was different. I'm back, baby. I'm him.
Oh, that's right. You're on a hot streak. You've won one in a row. The beloved Bayview Restaurant and Lounge, perched over Bodega Bay at the Inn at the Tides, has returned. And I'm telling you, man, was out there last year. This place is amazing. Delight in chef specials paired with live piano music. So incredible, you may decide not to leave. Dining and hotel reservations at innatthetides.com. Greg Cosell next, Willard and Dibs.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to
Will and Divvy
on 95.7 The Game.
It's that time. We're here.
It's time.
He's him.
Yeah. I'm nervous. I'll be honest. I got more nervous just knowing.
You said that you weren't.
Well, then I looked at the phone screener and I saw the number come up.
There it is.
I know that the number represents the person. And I know the person knows a lot about football and he's a no-nonsense guy.
That's right. Yeah, don't mess around. Don't try to say that something is this if it's that.
I might limp into this one.
Okay. River Island's guest line. It is an intimidation sensation for Dibs.
That's a buck.
It is the executive producer of NFL Films and, for my money, the foremost tape watcher in all of the NFL. It is none other than the great Greg Cosell. Hi, Greg. How are you this week?
Hey, I don't want you guys to be nervous or anything. We're just going to talk a little football, you know?
No, Dibs gets very, very nervous because
yes,
I don't know if you know this, Greg. Dibs is one, he likes to watch the game two or three times, and then he comes in with a full piece of paper on both sides with all these little notes written down like he's got the whole thing figured out. And then sometimes he sits down with you, and you let him know that he didn't figure out nothing.
All right, Dibs, what do you got figured out this week?
Well, Greg, I want to talk about the Patrick Mahomes touchdown and talk about the Niners not staying in their rush lanes, right? When he kind of scampered up the middle. It wasn't a QB draw, don't get me wrong.
Are you talking about the short run for a touchdown?
That's the one, Greg. Tell me what happened, because I obviously don't know.
I mean, that was not like one of those plays that you know, totally caught my attention. I mean, they dropped back. They were in man coverage, and then there was an open space in front of them. I mean, you know, obviously you don't want that to happen, but that wasn't really a complex thing.
For me, the complexity comes from...
A man had a ball, and he ran it into the end zone. That's what happened.
What were the 49ers doing in terms of their rush lanes, though, Greg? Felt to me like they left that hole a little bit too open, a little too gaping, Greg, for me, for my taste.
Well, they probably did, but, you know, see, some of these plays, you know, when things happen in games, a lot of these things are not necessarily, you know, complex, you know, so, but yeah, you know what, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to actually pull up the play right now.
Oh, this is live Cosell.
I love a live Cosell.
We're going to pull up the play right now.
Take a look.
Yeah, and it's really not. So we're talking about the 1 yard touchdown. That's what we're talking about.
They made it 21-12, fourth and goal at the one.
Okay.
And, you know, it felt a little pivotal to me. Maybe I'm not watching the game correctly, Greg. I don't know.
All right, so let's see. They go with a 3-by-1 set. Then they take the back and they make it empty. Niners are in man coverage.
Yep.
So, yeah, so what happened is Elliott, number 92, widened his rush lane too much.
Yeah, I thought
that's
the
what
same
happened.
Thing.
So he widened his rush lane too much to the outside, and that left a hole for Mahomes.
Tom Brady on the broadcast called it undisciplined. Do you think that that's fair?
Yeah, I do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he shouldn't have widened his rush lane.
Yeah.
He tried. You know, with these guys, D linemen, they want to sack the quarterback. I mean, that's basically what they want to do. So instead of staying in what we would consider kind of a two-gap mode, it's not really two-gap because it's not a run play, but instead of staying head up on the center Humphrey, he tried to beat him to Humphrey's outside shoulder, his left shoulder, and that opened up the lane.
Greg, let's talk about Brock Purdy's interceptions. What did you see on those plays, and to what level were those, you know, squarely on him?
The first one was just a poor read. It started the 49ers' second possession. It came off play-action boot from under center. Purdy threw the kid on the backside crosser, which is a very common route on play-action boot. You get a crosser from the backside that works in tandem with the boot action. He just made a really poor read, not accounting for Justin Reed, who had started to drive on Kittle's route before Purdy even released the ball. So that was a really uncharacteristic play by Purdy. That was, you know, only he could tell you what he saw, but he clearly didn't see Reed or didn't account for Reed, one or the other, and Reed was... He drove on the throw before Purdy released it, so it was just a bad read and a bad throw by Purdy.
And then let's go through all of them. What about the one where he went way over Ronnie Bell's head? Big momentum changer. A lot of people thought maybe Ronnie ran the wrong route. Kyle Shanahan and Brock Purdy after the game both said no, it was on Brock. What did you see there?
If it's on Brock and he did not run the wrong route, then he just made a really bad throw, which happens in games, obviously in critical games and close games. You don't want those things to happen, but I'm not going to argue with Kyle Shanahan, so assuming let's just go with the fact that Kyle's correct about the route, then he just made a really, really bad throw.
And on the third one, they're at the 5-yard line, and by my eye, Kansas City just rushed three, and Karlaftis was able to beat McKivitz. And, you know, you look at that play, and it felt like, you know, Brock Purdy maybe made a risky throw into the end zone.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I was watching the game live at that point, you know, because I watched the red zone, but there are only three late games, so they were obviously on that game. And I know Brady said that there wasn't anything there, and, you know, he's reacting in real time. I'm sitting here with a Cowboy remote clicker and can watch the play as many times as I want. You know, when you're down at the low red zone. I don't think that was necessarily a force. I mean, I know exactly what he was trying to do, because he was trying to stick a tight window throw to Connolly on his turn inside away from McDuffie, and the throw would have beaten Hicks if he was not hit. So I don't think that was a bad read. Now, I'm not saying it's an easy throw. Throws like that are really tight in the low red zone, very rarely are they easy throws. So, you know, you have to make tight throws, and it's third and goal, okay? So, you know, you don't want to get a field goal there anyway. You want to get a touchdown. So just watching it with my Cowboy remote over and over, I didn't necessarily think it was a poor read. And obviously, Karlaftis beat McKivitz with his inside spin move, and that changed the whole play. But I didn't necessarily think it was the wrong read. I think he had a chance if it was clean.
Greg, what if we broaden the Brock Purdy conversation a little bit? Because I remember last week you told us this was not a game for him to run around and get really, you know, improvisational. You wanted put your foot in the ground, get the ball out.
Yep.
Yeah. So what did you see in terms of him doing that and how open or not open his receivers were?
Well, you're playing against a team that's a really difficult team to play against, and particularly, you know, they play a lot of man coverage, they play a lot of press coverage, they challenge receivers, they disrupt timing. Steve Spagnuolo has always believed in this evolving NFL that because there's so much quick timing throws by quarterbacks, that often you're not going to disrupt the quarterback, so what you need to do is disrupt receivers. You can even go back to the Super Bowl when these two teams played, and there were some critical downs in that game in the Super Bowl where they played press man and disrupted routes. They do that exceptionally well. And if your receivers are not going to win versus press, and win is a relative term, you know, in the NFL, winning can mean that a receiver is open by you know, a quarter of a yard. I mean, so that's a relative term. But you have to give your quarterback somewhere to throw the football. Now, having said that, and you guys know me, I say what the film shows. I think that over the last month or so, that Purdy's been playing a little fast. I don't think he's been as comfortable in the pocket. I think there's been times that's resulted in him not seeing things as clearly as he has, you know, the large majority of his career. Pressure's been a factor at times, but there've also been some snaps where he's been a little too quick to break down and move. So, you know, again, I'm not Kyle Shanahan. I don't know what he plans on doing this week, you know, in their matchup against Dallas, a team that they obviously beat handily a year ago, and they're definitely going to be without Lawrence, and they could well be without Parsons. To me, you got to get back to what you do really well. You know, you got to get back. You got to put Purdy under center, which, by the way, he's been under center on his drop back passes this year less than 20% of the time. So I think you got to put him under center, get back to your play action run game, use your inside, your zone run game. You got to get back to me. And again, Kyle might disagree totally. He knows his people way better than I do. But I think you sort of have to get back to what you kind of do well.
Yeah, and I think that includes, for me, Greg, at least a little bit of the screen game and maybe running some draws and trying to keep some of the pressure off the offensive line. When you look at the 49ers offense through the season, are you seeing a lack of the short passing game, or that used to kind of be their mainstay?
Well, that's where I think Purdy's been playing a little fast, because you're not seeing, particularly over the last month, that's where it's really been noticeable, where he hits that back foot and he sticks those throws between the numbers. Now, keep in mind, too, that teams, the more and more you see a player, the more and more you see a team, teams start doing specific things where they feel in certain down and distance situations, certain spots on the field, where they try to take away what you do well. So sometimes it comes down as well to self-scouting and saying, hey, here's what we're getting. So you know what? Instead of calling this, even though this is one of our staples, we've just got to counter off our staple. And of course, it's always easy for me to say, which is why I don't get into game planning, and when people say it's a bad game plan or a bad play call, because I sit and watch tape, but I'm not comfortable talking about that, because I always feel you have to be there for the whole week to be in the meetings and understand the entire thought process. It's always easy to comment on something when you have access to the result. That's easy. Anybody can do that. I don't take that approach. I'm a process guy. So I'm just, what I'm saying is based on my sense of watching the film, but I'm not in their building.
Greg Cosell with us, as he is every week. Willard and Dibbs, NFL Films, and the breakdown of what has happened and what's about to happen right here on 95.7 The Game. So, Greg, let's go back to your comment about Spagnuolo, who notices there's a lot of timing patterns in the league. He switched halfway through the Super Bowl and said, let's go man on Brock Purdy. And so now I hear a lot of fans going, all you got to do is go man-to-man with this Niner team, and that stops what Kyle is doing. What would you say to a fan?
Well,
I mean, it's not that simple, right?
No, of course not. And by the way, I remember years ago, maybe I was at a Super Bowl, and I was talking with Troy Aikman. It was before the pandemic, but it wasn't 100 years ago. And Troy said to me something I've never forgotten. He said, if the opponent plays man-to-man and your receivers don't win, that's not on the quarterback. That means that's on the receivers. So now, what you have to do is your receivers have to win. And like I said, win, separate and win is a relative term. You don't separate and win by 15 yards. But you also then have to create some schemes, not create them, deploy some schemes that are man-beater type schemes, which are bunches, which are stacks, which are natural pick concepts. You have to do things that attack and break down man coverage if you're going to continue to get a lot of man coverage. That's what you have to do. That's what teams do when they face a lot of man. But Spagnuolo's defense is really difficult to play against. You can't use this one game as a template for the whole season. And by the way, the other thing that Spags does as well or better than any coach in the league, maybe Todd Bowles is the only one who does it as well, in my view, is uses defensive backs as blitzers. So, when you play the Chiefs, there's a lot of things they do that not every team does. And, it's difficult to prepare for.
The Niners used to be one of those uncomfortable teams with whom to prepare. And I'm looking at the last two drives, and Kansas City had 18 called runs, and only one of them sustained a negative for Kansas City. What are you seeing on the film with this Niners defense that is forcing the other teams to just gash them?
Yeah, well, this wasn't a gash game. This was a sustaining game because, Hunt, I think, ended up 22 for 78. He only had one run over 10 yards, but he had a lot of runs that looked like they gained 6 or 7 yards. Those are hard runs to really dissect because guys are not getting killed on those runs. In other words, you're thinking about runs where, man, they just gash them. There weren't those runs in this game except for the 13-yarder. So, then it's those are hard to really dissect because you're not really getting physically manhandled, but you're getting beat enough that you're not stopping them at the line of scrimmage. So then it comes down to, you know, your defensive front has to control the point of attack better. If there's double teams, your linebackers have to play downhill and eliminate the double teams so that your D-line then can play one-on-one as opposed to having to battle double teams. I mean, it's all technique and tactics in how you deal with the run game, but it comes down to some physicality as well. But they were not gashed this week.
Greg, let's talk a little bit about the Cowboys and what they present. I mean, they have, especially in their home games, my gosh, they've been giving up just tons and tons of points. You mentioned that they're certainly limited with their pass rush in terms of personnel. What do you see from that group that the 49ers will have to attack?
Well, they're not a great defense right now. They're missing really important pieces on their defensive line. I guess we don't know about Parsons yet at this point. He hasn't been announced one way or the other whether he's playing or not. But I did read that he'll be questionable. So I guess it depends on his whole week of practice. But if he can't go, and with Lawrence out, they don't bring a lot in terms of individual pass rushers. But keep in mind that, you know, McKivitz, he's the right tackle. He's, even going back to last year, he has some bad snaps in one-on-one pass protection every game. So teams do attack him in pass protection. And their secondary, because they've been missing people, although I read where Bland might be back. But Bland had a lot of picks last year, but he's not really that good a corner. I mean, because he made a lot of picks, everybody thought, oh, this guy's an all-pro. But when you watch him snap after snap, he's not really that good a corner. So, this is a defense where you would think that they'd be able to get well. Now, the other thing, too, is I think Mason had 5 rushes in the first half this week. Now, I know he only gained 3 yards, but the 49ers have always been a run game that they don't stop running the football. So, I think that that's something they'll probably spend a lot of time talking about this week, about getting back to the run game, because that's a staple and a foundation of what they do.
Yeah, and it's something that they definitely got away from early, and then they were chasing the game, and they weren't able to really reestablish it. I'm thinking about the Cowboys' offense, Greg, and what they do and how much that'll pose a threat to the 49ers, whose linebackers, Fred's been good, but he's a little bit hampered, and, you've got other linebackers, Campbell in there and Winters.
Campbell has struggled a bit.
He has struggled.
He struggled with a lot of his assignments, and that's why you saw Winters play more snaps this week in the nickel, because Campbell has struggled in his a number of pass defense assignments. I assume that will continue with Winters getting more snaps as well, but we'll see, how that goes. But the Cowboys, again, all we have is what's happened up to this point. Anybody can make predictions, but up to this point, the Cowboys have not been able to run the football with any meaningful consistency at all. So they really do not have a run game. And I really like Dak Prescott as a quarterback, but at this point, Dak Prescott is really kind of an executor and a ball distributor, and he needs a complete offense. It's just hard for him to play, and he can have great games. Look, could he come out this week and throw for 350? Sure, he can do that any week because he's a good player. But they're also playing a rookie left tackle. Remember last week we talked about the fact that Bosa would line up over Wanyamaris, and he did. I told you that he would line up over the left tackle, and he did, and he beat him a number of times. They didn't all lead to sacks, but he beat him a number of times. He's going to do the same thing this week against Guyton, the left tackle for the Cowboys. He's a rookie left tackle. He only played 14 games in college at Oklahoma at tackle. You'll see that as well this week. Even the right tackle, Steele, he struggles in one-on-one pass protection as well. So this sets up to be, looking at what's happened this year, that's all we have, is this sets up to be a positive performance on both sides of the ball for the 49ers, but it's the NFL. Every week is tough. You can't assume, oh, this one should be easy.
Greg, I got a little curveball for you, because with what happened to Brandon Ayuk last week, I'm personally interested in the 49ers getting into the very active wide receiver market. You saw DeAndre Hopkins go to the Chiefs today. What are your thoughts on Diontae Johnson as a player and how he would fit into what Kyle Shanahan does?
Well, I mean, he's a quickness receiver, you know, more than a speed receiver. He would probably, you know, just with his traits fit well. But, you know, again, I don't know if they're looking for a receiver. They just got Pearsall back. And I thought Pearsall running routes looked pretty juicy this week. Huh. You know, so he's only going to get better. You know, what that means in terms of production, no one can answer that. But I thought he looked pretty quick running routes. Plus, he's got some physicality to him. There were a couple of times he was pressed, and he ran through the press. So I'm really anxious to see him play more, which he will, obviously, because Ayuk's not there. Do you guys have any sense of Debo status this week?
He's out of the hospital, which is good news.
Yeah, and Kyle Shanahan sounded like he was maybe a little bit better than 50-50. That was just kind of our guess.
Right, and of course, he's still got two more days, yep. So we'll see what happens. You know, but, you know, again, then you get into a system that has a lot of parts to it, and I don't know Deontay Johnson at all, but the system has a lot of parts. Is he a guy that's going to come in and be able to play at a high level right away? Which, you know, you would think is not likely. Just because he's got some you know, athletic traits doesn't automatically mean he's going to step right in and be a really good player. And it's always easy to say, let's get another guy, but it's the middle of the season. That sometimes is not as easy as everybody thinks.
I think 49er fans would be pretty interested to hear that you think that Ricky Pearsall's play out there looked, quote, juicy.
It did. I mean, and I loved him coming out, by the way. You know, I thought that was a really good pick when the Niners made it. You know, so we'll see. I mean, he was drafted. Was he the last pick in the first round?
No, not the last. I think it was, what was it, second to last?
Second to last.
Yeah.
But he was a first round pick, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Look, you know, they didn't draft Ricky Pearsall not to play. Obviously, the tragedy happened with the shooting, but they didn't draft him to sit on the bench. So he's going to start playing now, and he's going to get a lot of snaps. I mean, he got a lot of snaps this week, obviously. So he's going to become, I don't want to say the main guy, because, you know, we don't know what he's ready to be, but he's going to play 50 snaps. I mean, he's not going to play 20 snaps.
Greg, great stuff as always. We thank you so, so much.
Hey, no, I appreciate it, guys. And Dibs, keep taking those notes, you know?
All right.
Yeah, Greg, I'm about 15 years away from giving you a run for your money.
Well, this is year 45 for me at NFL Films, just so you know.
Perfect. So when you're at year 60, you better watch your back, okay? That's all I'm going to say.
Greg, hey, we'll talk to you next
Greg.
Week.
All right, guys, appreciate it. Thanks so much.
There he goes. You keep working, and maybe someday you can get coffee for Greg Cosell.
Yeah, you're 60. I like my chances.
All right.
I'll be fetching his teeth for him out of a glass. And I'm not far behind him in age, so yeah, it's all the same.
That was amazing. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. I think I'd like to talk a little bit more about what he just said about Ricky Pearsall. Plus, it's Warriors opening night, and we are going to start getting you ready. And Monty Poole is going to join us in a half hour. And all that's going to be great. Stay right where you are on Willard and Dibs.
Dillard and Wibbs on 95.7 The Game.
I don't know, Dibs. 925 Comcast Business text line.
Yeah?
I got Dibs and Cosell at a split decision.
It's tight. It's tight in there.
How does the boxing scorecard work? Does it go to 11 or 10 or 12 or something?
Every round is 10.
10.
If there's a knockdown,
that's right, 10.
It's 10-8.
Okay.
If there's two knockdowns, it's a 10-7 round. A couple of weeks ago, it was easy a 10-8.
Yeah,
might have been a 10-7.
There were no knockdowns. But I got Cosell 10-9.
It's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine. A lot of rounds left to go.
It was tight, but...
And that's where Floyd Money Mayweather made his bones, is he would win a lot of those close rounds.
Yep.
And when you win and you have to give somebody the round, you used to not have to do it. You could, 10-10 round. It was a tie. Not anymore. Now the round has to be awarded to somebody. 10-9.
No, yeah. He interrupted one of your questions once.
Right, and that somehow gives him points for that?
Well,
because I'm not so rude as to keep going like other people may have in this interview? Because he interrupted you too, but you kept going.
He did?
He did. He tried to.
I don't even hear other people when they speak.
That sounds about right. That sounds pretty accurate. But yeah, he did the same thing to you. But you just...
Well, then maybe the train kept it rolling. Maybe you need to be like Ricky Pearsall and have a little bit more juice.
It's not what I do. Anyway.
Yeah. I thought, Greg, it was close.
Yeah.
He got you.
Yeah, he got me. He got me good. He got me good. I mean, what are we doing?
I don't know. We're watching tape. We're watching
not anymore.
Yeah, not anymore.
Not anymore.
Good. Look at that. See? You just
And that might have been his greatest blow at the end. Dibs, you keep watching film. Yeah, you keep doing what you're doing. Pat on the head.
That's
why
he sunned you. Yeah, he sunned totally you at the end of the interview.
No doubt.
So that's why he won. It was close, but he got you.
Darn it.
Gotcha.
Although he had to pull up the tape on a play.
He did.
Because he didn't remember it. And yeah, I guess a touchdown run on fourth down's not very consequential, Greg. It was only, play of the game.
It's not that it wasn't consequential. He basically was like, are we really starting this by talking about a one-yard run?
We are, way it went. Okay. And he, you know, was not able to answer my question until he went to the tape. And also, if you want to talk about who won, he was wrong about Jordan Mason in the first half. He had 6 carries, not 5. So maybe somebody needs to do a little bit more homework before they come into my house. But I let it go because he's a friend of the program.
That's all I was going to say.
I let it go.
But you can't come aggressively after the fact and tell him he was wrong. You have to say it right then.
6 carries, Greg. He had 6 carries.
He's not listening anymore. He's moved on to the Steelers tape.
And again, this is where I showed a lot of class and restraint.
You can say that.
Well, it's for the betterment of the audience in the interview. I didn't know it was going to be a win-loss scenario.
You did, and I'm sorry. Where is it that class lives in 2024? Not this earth. I don't know what you've been watching. Anyway, all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands and Lathrop? Do you know what I noticed out of that conversation? Forget the you versus him. That's fun, but for real now. It's yet another opportunity to question analytics, which I think all of us should be doing in sports a little bit more, right? Like, we've watched this in baseball now, and we've even started to fight back. Okay, stop putting all your infielders in right field. That's annoying. Get back to your position. And they changed the rule. And pitchers need to face 3 batters. All the stuff that we do. Here's Ricky Pearsall in his first NFL game, and all I hear all week from the internet is, ooh, in terms of separation, Ricky was 6th worst in the whole NFL.
Right.
And Greg goes, yo, he looked juicy out there. He called him juicy. Now, I don't know anybody who felt that way about Ricky Pearsall. Why? Because let's be honest. When you're watching the game, how many catches did Ricky have? Like 4?
3, I think.
Okay.
I could be wrong.
3 catches, 4 catches?
3 catches for 21 yards.
All right, there you go. So we saw him on those plays. Then there were a few targets that he didn't catch. And then there were other times where you just see him dart across your TV, and maybe he caught your eye, maybe he didn't. So we sat down for 3 hours. We saw him for an average of 1.5 seconds per time for about 8 times. So we saw him for, checks notes, 12 seconds. And we're like, I didn't like it. maybe there's something to it. Because listen, I'm not saying Greg's not allowed to be wrong, but Greg's watching things certainly different than I do. I'm not going to speak for you.
Well, he's got that cowboy remote.
That's right.
Which I need to ask him next time about exactly what that is.
And I love hearing him go, I liked him in college. I liked it when they made the pick. Because all I heard from the draft next, what a reach. That's a second rounder, not a first rounder. You should have waited 3.5 more picks in order to take. Stop it. Did you get a good player or not?
Right.
Now, I still have questions about the way the Niners are structuring their wide receiver room. $30 million for Brandon, restructuring Debo, drafting 2 receivers, re-signing Juwan. I got questions. However, Ricky just got the first big break of his career, and that is that Brandon got hurt and for a long time. And so there is a runway there, and I don't know what to think yet. It's pretty interesting what Greg said about him. I do think
that. Right. And he also said that you know, when you're talking about separation in a route and man coverage, a lot of times it's a quarter of a yard, which means I'm slightly ahead of you and it's going to take a perfect throw to beat it. So the whole idea of average separation per route is it's just another number, and numbers are numbers, as we've learned on this show, and you can use them however you want to use them. And ultimately now, I don't know if it's a good break that Brandon Ayuk is going to be gone for at least a year, but he does now get a chance, and Pearsall is under contract for 4 years plus a fifth year option if they so decide, and now he gets a chance to get more playing time than he probably otherwise would have, because they're going to need him. And this is also why I don't think that they need to be in the wide receiver market, and this is where Greg and I were in lockstep about, you know, Pearsall, they drafted him to play him. You used first-round capital to draft a guy, and so your intent was most likely to play him, and now you're going to play him. And I do think Debo will play, and hopefully Juwan is back, and even if Juwan's not back, you go a lot of two-receiver sets anyway, so you'll have Debo if he's able to go, and you'll have Ricky Pearsall, and you'll have other guys you can sub in from there.
We could debate whether or not their plan was to play him a lot in year one or not, because they also re-signed Brandon Ayuk, they also re-signed Juwan Jennings, they restructured Debo Samuel, and they weren't planning on any of them to not be available. So,
but it's
they
undebatable on their intent.
Not
like we can debate it, but
it's totally debatable this year.
Well, neither one of us has the ability to be right, because we are where we are now. And, you know, they could have said, well, it's an 18-game or it's an 18-week season, and so odds are somebody's going to be hurt. And so, yeah, our intent is to play him.
I mean, he's going to play. I don't know if this much was going to be on his plate, and certainly not in game two of his career, is what I'm getting at. Sure, your fourth wide receiver is going to play. He's going to get snaps. There's probably going to be injuries. Were they going to put this kind of an assignment on his plate this quickly? I don't know about that. And so I have no idea if he's ready for that. But it's good that Greg thinks he looked really good. By the way, for those of you just joining us, here's what Greg Cosell said about Ricky Pearsall.
I thought Pearsall running routes looked pretty juicy this week. You know, so he's only going to get better. You know, what that means in terms of production, no one can answer that. But I thought he looked pretty quick running routes. Plus, he's got some physicality to him. There were a couple of times he was pressed, and he ran through the press. So I'm really anxious to see him play more, which he will, obviously, because Ayuk's not there.
I mean, yeah, like I'm not arguing that that's not the most likely scenario. But with the situation surrounding Juwan, I don't know exactly what's going on with Debo, and even if, with Ricky Pearsall growing into a role. Personally, I'd still love to see the 49ers, among maybe other acquisitions, I'd love to see them bring in a wide receiver.
Well, and the price for these wide receivers is not that high, and I saw that it was a conditional fourth, I think, for DeAndre Hopkins.
I think a fifth that can become a fourth,
right?
I think is what it was.
So
yeah.
If you look at the picks that the Niners are going to recoup already for the players that they lost last year, they're in line, and I was reading this from Matt Barrows today in The Athletic, they're already in line to get a third for sure for the D'Amico Ryans Carthon exodus.
Yep.
So they got another third coming there. Plus the players they lost, probably going to get a fourth, a fifth, and a sixth coming in comp picks. So if you want to trade a fourth or a fifth or even a third, you've got a lot of picks that are going to be coming in after the year. So the draft capital for the Niners is not as critical, because you're going to have comp picks coming in.
Doc Pandy in a couple of minutes on all the Niner injuries, and then Monty Poole in 15 minutes as we start to get ready for the Warrior opener tonight. I did want to throw this in. This is fun. You ready for this?
Yeah.
Found this on TikTok. So a dad whips his phone out while he's driving because his kid is in the back seat. No joke, the kid is still in a car seat, and the kid is in tears, which happens. Why is the kid in tears? Well, damn it, because his fantasy football team has too many injuries. There's a specific reason why you're listening to this. Listen afterward for why, but check this out.
Buddy, what's the matter?
I'm done with fantasy football.
Why? What happened?
Everything. All my players are getting hurt, and they're like some of the best ones.
Who's hurt now?
Chris Godwin's hurt. Now CeeDee Lamb's in the, Debo Samuel's in the hospital. And CJ Stroud can't do anything.
CJ Stroud's sucking right now?
And so is Chris. Cortland Sutton.
Hey. We gotta look at the waiver wire and keep it moving. That's all you can do.
I'm sorry, but how old is this kid?
I don't know.
Seven?
Listen.
Eight?
Listen, you know Jude is 10 and he's on year four. This is what it sounded like 3 years ago.
Right.
That's what it sounded like.
Yeah.
When you lose.
It's, everybody gets to parent however they want to parent. I will just say this. That's not a thing that I ever would want to be a part of as a dad.
Cortland Sutton.
My kid is crying about Cortland Sutton.
And CJ
Stroud had one bad game.
He can't do anything.
He had one bad game, kid. He's been pretty damn solid all year.
Are you ready for how cool this is, though? There's a fun ending to the story.
There better be. Because that was very uncomfortable to listen to.
Debo hopped into the comments. And he directed a comment at him and said, I'm okay, buddy.
I'm ready to go.
Debo, he's okay. I'm okay, buddy. It's okay.
That kid doesn't care if he's okay. He only cares if he goes for seven catches for $112.
Well, first of all, he called Debo CeeDee Lamb. He was crying so hard. He goes,
right.
CeeDee, I mean, Debo Samuel's in the hospital.
Right.
He's okay, buddy.
He's out of the hospital.
I heard that
the day
got better. It got better.
For that kid?
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure he got ice cream and forgot the whole thing. And hopefully he's not in a money league. I would hope that you...
I hope it is.
It's just... I mean, I'm not going
to... Know what I used to do for the kids? Because when they first wanted to do it, I go, I'll commission the league, and I got prizes for everybody at the end if you win. I got a prize for you. No money.
Yeah.
But I got some stuff for you.
That's what I did with the Super Bowl pool.
Yeah.
I would come back from... whatever trip I was on and bring prizes. So if you won the first quarter, you got a prize.
There
was no money.
Yeah, no money. No, I guarantee you it's not money. It doesn't take money. Trust me. They'll cry for no reason at all.
I have kids. I get it.
I mean,
the kid's crying over Cortland Sutton. What are we doing here, Dad?
It would have been amazing if the dad was like, why the hell did you draft Cortland Sutton?
That would have been a better comeback.
What are you doing, kid? Yep. All right, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey sports station, always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union for low-rate auto loan. Apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.